our brand new web. We also have a couple other things coming up on Monday, another important day, because in the morning from 10 till 12, you have the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. It meets monthly on the fourth Monday of the month. Come out and learn something interesting about politics and public policy at the Sims Library on Pelham Road. That's Monday morning from 10 to 12 here in Greenville. In addition to that, that evening, there is the Institute on the Constitution. Yes, the Institute on the Constitution, folks. You want to make sure that you attend that meeting. Starts at 6:30, goes till 8:30. They watch videos about the Constitution and its founding. It's the seventh week that the Institute's been in existence. You can go ahead and visit at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. That's Highway 29's exit off of the 85, I-85 in the upstate of South Carolina here. That's worthwhile going to. If you can't get there right on time because of family commitments, dinner, or whatever else it might have been the case, it's a little bit out of town, don't be afraid to go late. They'll be happy to have you there at the Institute on the Constitution on Monday night at 6:30. So a lot of events coming up. After that, next week, also, there are a couple others, believe it or not. On Thursday night, there's a regular meeting of the Greenville County Taxpayers. But you may not want to go to that because yours truly, Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit, has been invited to speak at the League of the South meeting. The League of the South is at Prime Sirloin the same night. For some reason, they've scheduled themselves on the same night as the taxpayers' meeting, unfortunately, at least for now. They'll be meeting at the Prime Sirloin restaurant on Woodruff Road, just across from Greenville Mall in Greenville, South Carolina. Both those meetings start, I think the taxpayers starts at 7, but the League of the South meeting will start at 6:30, and there'll be a dinner required. If you go in, you'll have to either get the $2 dessert bar or the $7 dinner ticket, so be prepared for that as well. Lots of meetings coming up next week. We hope that you can attend some or more of them, because it's important to be involved as much as possible in the politics of the day and learn a little bit more about public policy. Bring what you know, the new insights that you have learned here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, to those meetings. You'll be glad that you did, and they'll be glad that you came. They'll be encouraged, and you'll be doing more of your own Christian duty in this world, to occupy till he comes, that's what Christ said, and to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are a Christian station, not ashamed of that fact. If you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're listening, but our main hope is not that you'll come away an understanding of liberty, more merely that, or that you'll understand that free markets are an important feature of life that need to be exalted far over socialism. But we hope that you'll also come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, because without knowledge of Christ and knowledge of everything else correctly, you still land in hell and you spend an eternity separated from God, because your sins are the most important issue in your life, far and away more than any politician or individual issue. So we're not ashamed to tell you that here on Christian Worldview. We are a program dedicated with dedicated Christians, pro-life libertarians, and others who are our production staff, maybe from the Constitution Party, for instance. We're dedicated, though, to the gospel as well as to liberty, and we're not ashamed to say so, and we hope that you'll come along and follow Christ as well as we have. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up to our first break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And just a reminder to folks this morning, we are on the backup studio line today, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We do hope that you call in. We're glad to have callers, but that phone number you just heard, our regular line, for some reason, is out of service today. Our production staff, all volunteers, have not got around quite yet to fixing that particular problem. It may not be for some time here, since we do have a backup line. So be aware of that. When you hear the regular phone number, it won't get you on the air. You need to dial the backup line, 864-201-6955. Well, we have a number of interesting stories. Still trying to catch up from the week when Richie Ritchie was joining me. In fact, he'll be back tomorrow to join me. Most every Friday from now on, we're going to have Rippin' Richie on the Christian Worldview show. Glad he's able to join us, add some extra color and flavor to the Christian Worldview program. But what we're more excited about here at the Tyranny Response Network is the potential afternoon show that Rip and Richie will be starting, and it'll be as soon as possible, next week or two perhaps, probably from 4:30 to 6 p.m. So during your afternoon drive time, you can tune back into the Tyranny Response Network and hear another live talk show. We're also thinking about pumping through in the evening, 8:30 to 9:30, or 8:30 to 10, excuse me, the political cesspool out of Memphis, Tennessee. In fact, I just got a note from the research staff forwarding me something from their webpage. It says as follows, James and Austin joined once again by Dr. John Coben, Policy of Liberty. Listen to this accomplished scholar and author and radio host as he kicks the plutocrats where it hurts. Ooh. Actually, that plutocracy would be a whole lot better form of government. That would be ruled by the landed property owners than would be a democracy, or kind of like the mob rule we almost face today. But yes, we don't like the current plutocrats, whether they be from the Walker, Bush, Prescott, Gore, Kennedy, et cetera, families as we see them today, the Kerry clan, the Hines clan. These are a problem for us. But at any rate, yes, the political cesspool, we may be trying to air that as well in the evening. That'll be a live talk show that you'll be able to call into them in Memphis and be able to be heard here in Greenville and the rest of the upstate of South Carolina. Still improving our signal quality. We can use your help in doing so. If you have a piece of high ground, we're interested in talking with you. We are always looking for sites to improve our signal quality at the Tyranny Response Network. Those folks have asked me to pass that along to you, that they're looking for people that might have high ground. You can go ahead and send a question to the questions at policyofliberty.net, and it will be forwarded over to them or to the production staff, trn@policyofliberty.net. Also on the tyrannyresponse.com website, there's some contact information. You'll see there a link to click on for Brad. He's the one who handles the signal, and he would be able to help you if you can help us. Still looking for old computers, new computers, cash donations, and so forth. If you can help out the Tyranny Response Network, you like what you're hearing on Christian Worldview, please don't hesitate to help us a little bit. There are constant ongoing financial expenses that we incur here at the station, and to keep our network running. And we have no regular commercials, as you know. We're completely listener-supported, supported by donations. So if you can... if you can come down to the Integrity Group office and leave with the secretary, or if you can find him there, Dr. John Coben himself, a donation, we would greatly appreciate it. Come down to 514 Pettigrew Street in Greenville, South Carolina, and drop it off there. We would appreciate it very much. Also want to get a quick plug for our friends at the Times Examiner. You know, the Times Examiner is a struggling paper. They are really in need of advertisers at the moment to keep the thing afloat. And we also need more subscriptions given to the Times Examiner. $25 a year is not a bad price, $27 a year if you're out of state. You can reach Bob Dill at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Please do give a call to him. This paper has been just a tremendous source for true conservatives and pro-life libertarians. to express their views. Now, there are some neocons in there, you'll find them, and some people with some oddball ideas here and there. But by and large, the paper is a wonderful resource for us here in the Upstate, and we want to support it any way we can. Hope you can subscribe if you don't have subscribed already, and even think about running an ad for your business. Even a small ad would help keeping the thing afloat. Well, we want to talk about something a little bit deeper this morning, and that is coming from the deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show link. This link is right on the front page of the tyrannyresponse.com. Deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. They still have those two very important links for our listeners. One is take the quiz, it says. You find out which of the four evangelical views of public policy which you hold. That quiz is important. It's a self-guided 15-question multiple-choice type quiz. Well worth taking. It might take a half hour of your time, but it will really improve your thinking about public policy theology, and we hope that you take that and go ahead and email us the results here at the Tyranny Response Network at Christian Worldview. Just send your email to questions@policyofliberty.net so we can read the results. However, there's this other link called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. This is 20 questions, and these things are revised from time to time. The last revision was on April 20th. There are 20 fairly deep questions for people coming onto the show wanting to discuss the theology of public policy and what we're all about here at Christian Worldview. And the second question of this list says, may government legalize crime or actions that God says are wicked? What does the Bible mean when it says that states are ordained by God? If a government does wrong, when and to what extent, passively or actively, may Christians oppose it? Were Lincoln and FDR, that's Franklin Delano Roosevelt, criminals? Or who or what defines what is a criminal? Well, this is an important question. In fact, I'm going to tackle this in my next column in the Times Examiner. Yes, indeed, in the Times Examiner. But I thought I'd give you a glimpse of what I'm heading for here now, just because it's an important thing to think about as a Christian. What do you suppose about this? What has been your philosophy or your theology of public policy with respect to these things? Well, may a state legalize crimes or actions that God says are wicked? The answer is no. God may not give the state permission to break his laws by virtue of the fact that he is the appointed civil authority, elected or otherwise. Of course, states can do so, and often do, but that does not mean that God had sanctioned their wickedness. For example, abortion, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, sodomite unions, marriage licensing, divorce for reasons other than adultery or abandonment, family control rules, such as prohibitions against spanking, the so-called truancy laws, pagan or public education, affirmative action, taxation, which is legalized theft of non-privileged earnings, farm and other subsidies financed by extortion, welfare and other relief that requires the looting of one person in order to benefit another, for example, Social Security, food stamps, Pell Grants, and so forth, and aggressive warfare, which is just murder, are immoral policies, but they are still legal and even endorsed by the state. Yet God condemns them in his word. Now, I want to pick up on this discussion when we come back from the break, but the answer is clearly this. States may not do what is wicked. They may not. Do they? Can they? Do they have the ability? Yes. And they do regularly. That's their normal course. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian Worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we, of course, do that right here on Christian Worldview as much as possible. We're talking about this deep question number two that's found on the tyrannyresponse.com website. You can click that and it will pop up these 20 different questions in your PDF file format, your Adobe Reader, whatever it's called. And this is a great tool. It's a great thing for you to read through and think about. Remember, we're not here to just give you the milquetoast philosophy or means or strategy. We are looking to help you think differently, better as a Christian. What was in the mind of the founding fathers, the Christians at the early, in the first first century? Oh, then too, but during the 1770s. We're going to help you have a glimpse into that mindset and to determine what the theology of public policy today should be. It's not what it is now, folks. We have a very Tory mindset in America. We have a mindset that exalts the state and expects more out of the state than it actually should. And we're trying to counter that here on Christian Worldview. I've read question number two from the Deep Question series. May a government legalize crimes or actions that the state says are wicked? What does the Bible mean when it says states are ordained by God and so forth? We're going to continue to discuss this even now. From before the time of Christ, nearly every state has promulgated or exalted or advanced a growing number of evil policies such as abortion, marriage licensing, truancy, pagan education or public schools, currently affirmative action policies, taxation policies or legalized theft, extortion. These things have been promulgated by states even before the time of Christ. Given this well-established fact, how should we understand the Bible's teaching that states are ordained or appointed by God, Romans 13:1. Divine ordination simply indicates that providence directs all things. As historic Baptist and Presbyterian confessions of faith declare, God has decreed in himself from all eternity, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably, all things whatsoever come to pass. I got that quotation and I just read that off of the 1689 Confession of Faith, the London Baptist Confession of Faith. A similar confession can be found in the First London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1644, as well as in the Westminster Confession of Faith, all of them in Article 3 under the Decree of God. So Christians have held to these views, Baptists and Presbyterians and many others, for a long time about God ordaining all things. After all, if God doesn't ordain all things, he ceases to be sovereign. If he's not sovereign, then he doesn't really rule the world, and the Christian faith has become sort of debunked if God is so anemic or unable or incapable of directing and controlling all things in life. I've heard one preacher, I think it was R.C. Sproul, once say, that either you believe in the sovereignty of God or you're an atheist. Because as soon as there's one maverick molecule out there in the universe, outside of God's control, God ceases to be God. As we understand him, he is no longer all-powerful, all-knowing. He would cease to be God himself if indeed one molecule were out of his control. Surely the Apostle Paul did not suggest in Romans 13:1 that all particular states then at his time and ever since have been characteristically good or even good for society. History evinces and shows the opposite. As Thomas Jefferson candidly remarked, sometimes it is said that a man can be trusted with a government of himself. Listen to this quotation. cannot be trusted with the government of himself, can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question. Agreeably and common sense, Thomas Paine wrote, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state, and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence and subtlety obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who, by increasing in power and extending his depredations, overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions." Likewise, Sigmund Freud, who was cited by Albert J. Nock, observed, "Taking the state wherever found, striking into its history at every point, one sees no way to differentiate the activities of its founders, administrators, and beneficiaries from those of a professional criminal class." Lysander Spooner, the other day when we were talking about the state and he was criticizing General and President Grant, was very clear in saying these guys are openly robbers and murderers. That's what they are. And Albert J. Nock called the state leaders the most dreadful swine. This has been the history. And what does the Bible say about that? Is it any surprise to us? There is no surprise that rulers love this reshaped Tory doctrine or divine right of kings doctrine that's so commonly promoted in the church today. Only within the mechanism of the state can man legally be a thug without reprisal or public shame. He can be a legalized criminal through the state. Yet God ordains all such things. This is a hard answer for some people to accept. God ordains the Hitlers. He ordains the Stalins, all of these evil men. He doesn't expect us as Christians to recognize them as good or bringing order to society, but he does ordain them. And that's what it means in Romans 13:1. Remember what the scripture says in Daniel 4:17. God says he ordains all these kings, these evil kings, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Indeed, he gets the lowlifes, and he puts them up there. George W. Bush is a good example, and there are many others, not just him. It could be Clinton, it could be Stalin, it could be Lincoln, it could be any number of other ones, because, by and large, they are brought up from the basest ranks of men to rule. Hope that's of interest to you this morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up against a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview. This is your Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben. Had a wonderful first half hour of the show where we got to talk about the state, its nature, deep question number two. Hope we have some interest in that from callers. And in fact, we have a caller on the line now. Nelson is calling us. Before we get to him, I want to quickly mention to you the weather. For those of you just getting ready to go to work, it's in the mid-60s in the upstate of South Carolina. Going to get up to around 80 today with a 40% chance of thunderstorms. So be prepared for that. A little bit foggy this morning as you make your way out to work. Take a couple extra minutes just in case you need a little bit longer to get to your cubicle and hibernate for the day. Well, at any rate, good first half of the show under our belts, and now we're here with Nelson on the line. Nelson, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, good show. Excellent, as usual. Many interesting thoughts and revelations. I think, personally, that it's important to add regarding God's sovereignty that evil rulers exist and are raised up by him only in the, I don't want to say poetic or exactly figurative, but the extra literal, the supra literal sense that they're the result of the people violating, they're the result of God's law at work. The people sin and evil rulers prevail. I really don't think that contrary to what many fundies would use as an excuse as to why not to care about politics or have any involvement in it beyond voting, I really don't think that it's God's will, per se, for Bush to rule us or for Stalin to have ruled Russia, stuff like that. You're not saying that exactly, but I think it's important to qualify for people that it's not God's will that evil ever prevail in any regard, but his will is his law. His law decrees that people pay the price for their own sins, and there are consequences for living in such a fashion, individually and as a whole society at once, that inevitably brings tragedy and crisis.
Yeah. Well, yes, this is you bring up an excellent point. There is the theologians of old distinguished between the permissive will of God and his general will to actually do a certain thing. In other words, God ordains Satan himself as a creature, even knowing that this angel will rebel and cause much grief and havoc in the world, and yet in some sense still has reins and controls over Satan, allowing him to do his mischief in the world. Well, it's the same with states. There are a couple different views among those of us who are so-called activist Christians about why the state emerges. Some would say that the state emerges, this would be my view, the state emerges directly as an arm and agent of Satan himself with never any good intentions whatsoever, even good possibility of existing. Others would say, as you just mentioned, Nelson, that there is a sense in which you get what you deserve when you begin to act wickedly and defy God's law in the land. What you're going to end up with is an evil ruler going up to the throne. But either way that it is, you still end up with God being in control, never dethroned, and permitting the evil to exist and occur in the world. That's a tough one because people say, well, there's a problem with evil. We have Hitlers and Stalins and Lincolns and so forth. These are bad guys and God's not in it. Well, he is. He's still there, and Christians are required to be faithful even under persecution, even when they need to defend themselves against tyrants. God calls us to be faithful in all of these things. Not that God likes any of these guys or that they'll be in heaven. They won't be. They'll all have one of the lowest spots in hell possible. I'm speaking figuratively, of course. But nevertheless, we don't believe as Christians that God is ever dethroned because of their existence. Is that better, Nelson?
Amen. But now, are you saying you don't think that there have ever been any actual good rulers of states or governments throughout history?
Well, my view is that outside of the theocracy, where in the theocracy in the Old Testament, you had 100% bad kings and rulers in the northern kingdom, and in the southern kingdom, you had 50% bad rulers and 50% good. King David was arguably a good ruler, although unless your name was Uriah, you know, you had he had his own follies and foibles.
Well,
and
so his rule was troubled by the really critically troubled by the result of his own sin, but mostly his whole reign long. But I agree that he was at least a partially good ruler. I think that there were others, as you indicated, in the southern kingdom, interestingly enough.
Yes, yes.
But we're actually good. I think there have been other cases. I personally think there have through history since then. They were not always presidents of the United States. In fact, presidents seem to run especially to corruption. But we agree, do we, that there have been good rulers through history in the scriptures and beyond?
Yeah, well, outside of the scripture, I think it's much more difficult to find them, actually. I would say they're very few and far between to the, you know, to some small percentage, less than 1%, to be my view. Now, I look at it, I make a distinction, as Albert J. Nock does, between governments and states. And the original government of the United States was not a state until Abraham Lincoln really came to power and became our evil, one of our first and foremost, maybe our foremost evil ruler here. But people who were running the government before then were generally good men, like Andrew Jackson. I still got Stonewall in my mind. Good reason to do so. He's a good guy to keep in the forefront of our thinking. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. I think these were very good men, and they ran government. They didn't actually run a state with its proactive policies of redistribution, behavior modification, or whatever else. But the United States is a very unique place. We have an incredible heritage here. The vast majority, if not nearly all other states in the history of the world, have been governed by evil people and tyrants.
Yes, they have.
And this is the norm.
This is something that needs to be faced by people, and they need to really face up to how much of the time counties and cities are run by absolutely despicable tyrants and what was Knox's word for them?
Dreadful swine.
Dreadful swine! Your county and my county are run by dreadful swine.
Yes.
And just because they sit in a posh, suave, modernistic little chamber underneath the, I guess in the front of the county square building over there in Greenville, and they sit behind former judges' benches at Anderson, does not mean they're any the more respectable. They are bleeding us. They are ruining us insofar as it can be done and still keep a straight face. And we all need to get real about politicians at every level. And thanks for getting us into all this today, Doc.
And no problem. Thanks for the call, Nelson. And I'll just cap it up before the break and just read again the scriptures. What does God say to us in Daniel 4:17? God ordains all such things, that, including states, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. And indeed, whether it's the dog catcher, the judges in Anderson on the federal court or the state courts, or it's any other bureaucratic level of government, we find the basest of men there in general. Especially those who have ruling power tend to be particularly base and coming from the lowest ranks among human beings. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben.
Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we enjoy providing that roughage for your brain here today at Christian Worldview. Want to make a couple of quick announcements. The Institute for the Constitution is going to be occurring here on Monday evening. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. The location is at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. Starts at 6:30, goes till 8:30 now. And actually, if you have to get there a little late, don't worry. They'll accept you coming in the door late. You'll be glad that you came. It's a good meeting. I've been to several of them, and I've been very pleased to have been able to do so. In addition to that, keep in mind that on Monday morning, there is the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting at Sims Library on Pelham Road. You want to go ahead and get out there if you can. If you're not working that morning, 10 to 12 o'clock. To have a good time and meeting of the minds with other people who are like-minded, either libertarian or true conservatives who want to change the society for the better here through being involved in the political process. They're also going to inform you of all sorts of evil things that are going on here in the upstate of South Carolina and elsewhere that we need to be opposed to as Christians and take a stand for the truth in this world. 10 o'clock in the morning till noon. Monday at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road between Hudson and I-85 in Greenville. Well, Fox News is telling us today that we have an environmental problem, a disaster on our hands, and we can always trust what Fox News has to say, can't we? No, the answer is. I'll just give you a quick, short answer about that. Amazon deforestation worsened in 2004. Uh-oh, everybody start worrying. From a Christian worldview, we don't believe that God is out of control, remember, but from a secular humanist worldview, they believe that the environment can be destroyed by men to the point where we all suffer and die and get obliterated probably by aliens at the end, who knows. At any rate, this is nonsense, yet nevertheless, I'm going to read this story so that you can know what's happening here on the front stories, or top stories, and Fox News. Brasilia, Brazil. Deforestation in the Amazon rainforest in 2004 was the second worst ever. Figures released by the Brazilian government showed Wednesday. Satellite photos and data showed that ranchers, soybean farmers, and loggers burned and cut down a near record of 10,088 square miles of rainforest in the 12 months ending in August 2004. The Brazilian Environmental Ministry said, they're looking for money, folks. Of course, the Brazilian rainforest has 1.6 million acres. This is hardly a drop in the bucket. It probably grows this much. It probably grows 10,000 acres, or square miles, excuse me, in a year, for all I know. At any rate, that may or may not be true. It's not important to the theme here, but we're talking about a very small portion was cut down. The destruction was nearly 6% higher in the same period the year before, when 9,500 square miles were destroyed. The deforestation, now, see, there's a flip side of the coin. When they say the word destroyed, we think of the word instead developed. I mean, after all, you're talking about men trying to improve their lives, going into the jungle, chopping it down, removing the deadly snakes and whatever else they have down there that's dangerous, so that we can actually inhabit those areas and use those areas and produce something. The fact that they chop down the rainforest doesn't mean they're not going to be replacing it with something more useful for people in society. Maybe they're going to plant crops there. Maybe they're going to mine something there. Maybe they're just going to use the areas that they've cut down in order to get in and better take care of the forest. When something grows wild, you look at a weed patch as you're driving by, something growing wild, there's truly life in it, but it's not necessarily at its optimal state. How much better if you were to drive by the home of where a person lives that is a manicurist when it comes to cultivating their yard. You can see that order sometimes brings greater production and greater beauty than what we have in the natural world. It's part of our dominion mandate as Christians to subdue the earth. Not that we destroy it, it's just indiscriminately, like cut down the rainforest and leave it there, walk away just for fun, burn it down. But cut it down and do something better with it. Make it a better situation, not a worse. This is the history of what men do when they're left to themselves. They chop down the woods. They you know, do something with the lakes and rivers and, you know, dam them up or whatever it might be in the case of rivers. They do this in order to improve life and make it better than it was before, not to make it worse. And this is nonsense, this assumption that when they say we've destroyed, or these Brazilians have destroyed all these square miles. Well, what have they done with it? Have they just left it, like gone in for the fun of it and wiped out, spent millions of dollars on wiping out a bunch of forests and just to leave it away and snicker? I don't think so. This is nonsense. This is environmental babble. Environmentalist doctrine, nonsense, that's promulgated in public schools and the main media like Fox News. I'll read a little bit more of the story. The deforestation hit record numbers in 1995 when the Amazon shrank a record 11,200 square miles, an area roughly the size of Belgium or the American state of Massachusetts. The Amazon forest, which sprawls over 1.6 million square miles and covers more than half the country, is a key component of the global environment. The jungle is sometimes called the world's lung because its billions of trees produce oxygen and absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Environmentalists were shocked with the new figures, which were announced nearly a year after the Brazilian government announced a $140 million package to curtail destruction. I guess they need more money. It's a tragedy, a demonstration that more needs to be done by the government, says Paulo Adario, the head of Greenpeace's Amazon program. Clearly, Amazon deforestation is not one of the government's priorities right now. Oh, yes. Government needs to step in. The market's failure. The capitalists, look what they're doing. They're destroying the rainforest. They're not going to replace it with anything useful. Government, run in. Give them more money. Quick, quick, quick. Otherwise, we're going to fall away and die. We're going to lose all the oxygen and carbon dioxide purification facilities in the Amazon. We're losing it, and we're all going to die. This is nonsense. This is evil claptrap by Marxian secular humanist environmental people that don't have a brain in their skull. I'm sorry, but these people are idiots. I don't know what else to say and in stronger terms. I'm not trying to be crass or mean here, folks. And I do want these people to be saved, and I do want to love them. But I'm telling you, this kind of doctrine is damaging to us. It's damaging to the world that people believe this nonsense. This is not true. God is not going to allow any group of men to destroy the world to such an extent that the world ends before he wants it to. It's just not going to happen. That's number one that you know. Secondly, the idea that men destroy things indiscriminately and then do not replace it with something better is absolutely against history. It's against economic theory. It's against the motivations and self-interest and desire to enrich themselves that men have everywhere, and it's simply not happening. Sure, they may be cutting down rainforests, but something better is going in its place, and there will be enough oxygen in the world, regardless of whether or not the government tries to control the cutting down of this vicious jungle and replacing it with something better in Brazil. So don't buy into this nonsense, folks. I'm a little bit animated this morning, but this kind of environmental stuff just annoys me when I see it just so widely accepted and people begin to shiver, especially you who love liberty out there, or you who are Christians need to say, this is nonsense, we are not going to buy this policy, and we're going to be opposed to these environmentalist rascals that come in and try to move us towards more state, more socialism, less freedom in the world in order to advance their phony doctrine. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And I guess I should issue an apology here. Just shouldn't be out there. I should not be calling people idiots. Even though I think their doctrine is idiotic, when it comes to an environmentalist especially, I'm going to retract that and apologize, especially for you who are of more sensitive ears. Please forgive me for saying, calling these people idiots. Their doctrine is idiotic, and I'll stick by that one at least. But as a Christian, I should have my speech seasoned with grace as salt, and I want to be careful to do that as much as possible. Although I do get carried away, I have to admit, when I have to read some of these stories, it just comes out of me. At any rate, I've said it now, and we will move on to a couple other interesting stories. Here's one the research staff sent us up. Martin Luther King Jr. High School Principal Sylvester Nellums in DeKalb County, Georgia, that's in the South, not too far from here, by the way, has shut his email address down, apparently not wanting to hear from you all about the school's decision to suspend two honor students for using a butter knife to cut a birthday cake for a classmate. See today's news and views at www.chuckmuth.com. Another example of the idiocy in the public school. And it truly is idiocy when we see this kind of stuff going on. Want to make just a quick announcement here, if I can. And that's this. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And we'd like to also mention to you that here at tyrannyresponse.com, you'll find all of these contributors, donors, not really advertisers, just people with something to tell you about events and media and so forth, links to different parties and things like that. They're all available at tyrannyresponse.com. Make sure you visit, and if you happen to miss a phone number or an address, go ahead to tyrannyresponse.com. You'll find it all there. Now, we have a caller on the line, and we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking to?
Good morning, Dr. Coben. It's Paul.
Good morning, Paul. Yes, thanks for calling, dude. Hopefully got your internet troubles worked out now. You had called the other day and had some internet difficulty, you said.
Right, we had got the mandolin going, and the last couple of days we've been listening, coming in clear as a bell.
Good, good.
Well, what's I'll just run the call this morning and give the millions of listeners a clue as to who presumes to govern them. You know, a clue as to, I've come to the conclusion that the bigger the monument or the more important the building or the road that they name, you know, an official after, usually the bigger scoundrel they are.
Yes.
That's pretty much, you know, even around the courthouse, if there's a portrait or a small statue or
mm-hmm.
or a marble
yes.
headstone type thing, the bigger the monument, the more the scoundrel and the worse they manipulate the system for their own advantage.
Yes.
And it works the other way. Where's the Madison or the John Jay, the Adam Smith Memorial, you know, that's what...
Yeah, you don't see that. They did throw us a bone when they gave us Thomas Jefferson, I suppose.
That's right. It probably long except in Washington, you know, but it took them quite a few years to finish the Washington Monument, you know. But
yes.
Yeah, we've got the Jefferson and but it's not too far from the Lincoln and the Roosevelt, the Roosevelt II,
yes.
Monument. So. You know, maybe turning his grave a little bit. I don't know.
Well, when you have your homeschooled children and you go through Washington as we have, or some of these other areas where they have little statues, we constantly have the same thought go through our mind. Well, this must be one of the evil rulers because they only make monuments to, well, not only, but by and large, monuments are erected to the evil rulers. But these are good object lessons. If someone asks you, well, what's the statue of? You can say, well, this was one of the evil rulers, and this is one some of the evil things that they did. And they say, well, why do they put up monuments to evil rulers? Well, because they exalt in evil rulers, but we are glad they do because it reminds us just how evil rulers can be and the wickedness that they promulgate and promote in lands like the United States of America. And so we can turn those statues into a good object lesson for our kids, even though they intended to exalt their most vicious types.
To do the issue exactly, and do some propaganda, but again, it's a clear even the Ronald Reagan building, I think it's the biggest building in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they have that they pretend Ronald Reagan was a man of limited government and of the people, but what do? They name the biggest building in Washington, and the biggest part of that building is underground.
Yes.
You can't see what's down there.
Right. And of course, this.
There's clues. They give you clues. Got to be in tune to them.
Well, this is not new, of course. The Romans, the Greeks, and many other empires in the history, last couple, 4,000 years of history, I guess, have always exalted these kinds of rulers and made statues to them.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the pyramids, and
yes.
And all that. You're right. Nothing's new.
Right. There's nothing new under the sun.
I'm not tuned into it.
Right. All right, well, that's what the scriptures say. They hold there's nothing new under the sun. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us, and this is partly the application of that. Well, I really appreciate that comment, Paul.
Listen, I certainly appreciate the show. It's spreading the knowledge. We learn something every day.
Okay, Paul. Well, I appreciate that. Paul calling from Georgia on the Internet. Always glad to have
a good weekend.
Okay, have a good weekend to you too, Paul.
Okay.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Want to remind others to promote the webcast and others listening outside of the upstate of South Carolina. We know we have people in California listening and in Tennessee, especially those of us who are joining us from the political cesspool. Encourage you to do that. I hope you can put up with the Greenville weather and a few of the Greenville events that we do announce in order to get to the meat of the show, which is just solid good stuff and helpful, we think, in promoting both the ideals of liberty and the vision of the Founding Fathers here in America. Let's help take our country back by promoting the truth. And you can do that by telling others about Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Well, here in the upstate of South Carolina, we currently have 68 to 70 degrees, depending on where you're at. It's going to end up around 80 degrees today with a 40% chance of thunderstorm. There's a little bit of fog still lingering outside, so if you're just making your way out to work, be sure to take a couple extra minutes so you can get to work safely this morning. And glad that you're able to spend that few minutes here with us, too, either on the radio, in your car, or at home. Learning something more about the Christian worldview and how we can apply our thinking and our principles in favor of liberty to the current scene, whether it be politics, public policy, preaching, pastors, whatever else we might find. You know, there's a couple of things I wanted to mention before we move on, and that is our new website, which Rippin' Richie Williams has come up with. And he'll be here on the show tomorrow morning joining me. I'll be looking forward to that. So we'll have Richie and I be doing the show together tomorrow. He's put together tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com is an excellent website that has all sorts of information, the things that I mentioned here on the show. One thing is the products section. If you go to the products tab at the top, you'll find a couple things there. One is called Warriors of Honor. That's a DVD that you can acquire about Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. There's a link there to purchase that. It's one of the best documentaries I've seen. Great family entertainment on the lives of these two great men, lovers of liberties and liberty and great Christians. In addition, you'll find a promo for my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. That book's $10.95. It's a great way for you to get an introduction to how to think biblically about public policy, about what the Scripture teaches regarding a theology of public policy. This book, by the way, has just been translated into Spanish and is available at the same website you'd go to there. If you have Spanish-speaking friends, you might want to get it for them. It's not in print form, however. There has not been enough funds or demands yet to actually put it into a paperback copy. But it is available in a downloadable PDF file at a very inexpensive price. I believe it's $5. You can download this book and print it or send it to somebody over the internet, whatever you'd like, and give it to them so they can read in Spanish this book. The reason it's been translated into Spanish is a man in Peru, Jose Luis Tapia, he runs a free market Christian institute in Lima, and along with some generous donors in Georgia, has invited me to go down this August and speak at a conference about the theology of public policy. And before I got there, they wanted to make sure that my latest work in Bible and Government had been translated. They also translated in this same file the piece I wrote called The Four Evangelical Views of Public Policy. So that's attached there as an appendix to this book, Bible and Government. It's all available for the same price and a download. If you know people who speak Spanish and are Christians are interested in public policy, even some of the stuff is interesting for non-Christians, it could be in a textbook on public policy theory. That's all available in this download now, Bible and Government. So I wanted to draw that to your attention. The Tyranny Response Network is also looking to expand its transmission capabilities. They want me to let you know that they would really appreciate your donations at this time of old computers. They'd appreciate donations of new computers, and especially cash. If someone is able to simply donate $1,000 right now, we may have an incredible extension, or the Tyranny Response Network has said that they would have an incredible extension available in the signal quality here in the upstate of South Carolina. And if you want a transmitter in your area, if it be in North Carolina, Georgia, or wherever, that's also possible, and it all takes money. So if folks out there who have a little bit of means, want to support the show and really promote so many hundreds of other people being able to listen over the airways, listen, $1,000, $1,500 really goes a long way. If you can support the show, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website. Go to the bottom of the homepage, tyrannyresponse.com. Bottom of the homepage says you can help. Contact the production staff to make cash donations. Go down there, press that link, and send us an email. We'll be happy to tell you how you can possibly support the Tyranny Response Network. Why not, folks? What else are you going to give your money to? This is an opportunity for people, hundreds more people, thousands more people, to hear the truth for a very little, a very low price. And you can feel that your money would be put well spent by doing so. If you can't get through on that email address for any way, or you get no response for some such reason, also send a copy of your note to questions@policyofliberty.net, and we'll be sure to get it at the Christian Worldview Show and forward it to the appropriate people at the Tyranny Response Network. Of course, the network is not the same thing as the show. I'm just the lead host, the lead show on the Tyranny Response Network. But of course, there is some sort of a very intimate connection between us, even though I'm not part of the management board or otherwise of the Tyranny Response Network. Want to support them in all they do. Appreciate them going through all the trouble to have the volunteers and make this a reality. It's a great, great show to have, a great station to have. Well, what else have we got? Well, speaking of the Tyranny Response Network, we have some great researchers there who come up with all sorts of stories, including this latest one we read about the butter knife expulsions. Well, there's some other things as well. We have our researchers send me some things about Clint Eastwood. You know, I like Clint Eastwood for the most part. Go ahead, make your day. And the Tyranny Response Network staff also does, apparently. Anyway, here's a comment from one of our production and research staff. He says, John, you remember the old spaghetti westerns? In A Fistful of Dollars, there's a great example of what the Second Amendment is for. The segment starts with the man with no name walking down the street past the coffin maker and saying to him, get three coffins ready. After a confrontation with four bad guys, they are all laying dead in the street or slumped over a fence. A man comes running out and threatens Mr. Eastwood's character with hanging, prompting him to pull out his gun again and point it at him, protecting himself from a crooked government, and asking, who are you? The man then identifies himself as the sheriff. The man with no name then puts his gun back in his holster and suggests that the sheriff perform his duty. That is, you'd better get these men in the ground. Four coffins were required. And so here we have an example, and Clint Eastwood does a good job, of those of us who are doing what is right, standing up against the evil rulers and not being afraid to point our guns at them. They are not our masters. They're our servants. They're supposed to be protecting us from thugs and murderers. And when people come to assail us and attack us, then we should be able to defend ourselves, including against the state. And if the state becomes a criminal organization, then indeed, that's what the Second Amendment's all about. That's why Christians need to have guns, because they need to be able to defend themselves against these kinds of thugs. Appreciate the research staff bringing that to our attention this morning. Great, great actor Clint Eastwood with a great theme. Better than the themes you often get in these movies nowadays, which all support the left and liberalism, unfortunately. But you can still undo that a little bit by simply making a point of listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben every day. We'll help you think better. We'll help you be unpoisoned. This is detox for the Hollywood left coming to listen to our show here. Well, what else have they sent us here? The research staff also wants to inform us about textile imports, exports, getting China into trouble. Peter Mandelson, the European Union's trade commissioner, on Tuesday called for China to curb exports of two important textile products immediately amid startling evidence that surging exports from the world's most powerful emerging economy are severely undermining the European textile industry. Mandelson's decision follows the announcement last week by the United States of proposed new quotas for some Chinese textiles, which caused an angry response from Beijing and accusations that Washington was undermining the world's trading system. International Trade, Herald Tribune. How can we keep the welfare state bureaucrats working if low-income families can buy all the cheap clothing they want? Very true. Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with free trade in this sense, and putting up a barrier is absurd in my view. From a Christian point of view, it makes no economic sense to want to pay more for things that can be more cheaply acquired. Yes, this is a little going to really rub raw a few of the protectionists out there if for some reason want to use the state to force prices to be higher and quantity to be restricted, but it just doesn't make any sense economically. We'll chew on that one for a minute if you want, folks. If you're interested in talking about it, make sure you give a call. Our phone number today, don't forget, 864-201-6955. We have to use the backup line this week, 864-201-6955, and maybe next week as well. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're trying to provide a little bit of that roughage on as you get up this morning and get on your way to make your day. There's been an open letter from Dobson to various judges, some complaining about from James Dobson about the state of the American judiciary, and rightly so, you know, rightly so. I'm glad to read a couple of excerpts from this letter that was written. It's time to admit your strategy has failed. Republicans nominated 58% of the federal judiciary, Fort Collins, Colorado, com says on April 28th, which you rightly expose as against family values. The Moral Majority Christian Coalition Focus on the Family 25-year strategy of getting anti-abortion judges through Republican victories has utterly failed. And now George W. Bush is keeping his word by living up to his very first campaign promise to ignore abortion when nominating judges. It was a Republican Supreme Court which legalized abortion, and a Republican-nominated judge even wrote Roe versus Wade. The current Supreme Court keeps abortion legal with 7 of the 9 sitting justices nominated by Republican presidents. The judge who wrote the Ninth Circuit ruling against the words "under God and the pledge" was nominated by a Republican president. In 2002, a New York federal judge ruled that a convicted child sex offender could not be stopped from attracting children with balloons in a public park. That judge was nominated by George Bush Sr., and this compares to the current Republican U.S. Supreme Court, which decided in favor of the child porn industry against families and law enforcement, making it harder to prosecute those who sodomize children for profit. Will you please publicly expose that the vast majority of the justices nominated by our pro-life Republican presidents are pro-choice and refuse to uphold traditional biblical authority? Our biggest successes are mostly hollow. We have spent most of the decade fighting a ban to partial birth abortion, which is tantamount to Germans banning Zyklon A, only to have Zyklon B used in the extermination camps instead. While today's abortion is simply used different method of late-term babies, and have not canceled a single abortion as a result. And the pro-life justices on the Supreme Court have never declared an unborn child's fundamental right to life, but rather criticized Roe, only because abortion should not be judicial, but a legislative issue. This very position undermines the safety of children, as though any subdivision of government could have the right to decriminalize murder. The justices that we pretend are conservative actually are only committed to process, not to Christian values, so that when Clarence Thomas dissented from overturning the Texas sodomy law that mercifully opposed harmful behavior, we touted him as supporting Christian values, yet he wrote that if he were a state legislator, he would vote to overturn the silly law. Oh, really? Dr. Dobson, respectfully, you are outraged by your own judges. Those in the womb when Reagan campaigned for president have now graduated from college, and the de facto focus political strategy has packed the federal judiciary with pro-choice Republican judges. All right, I'm going to stop reading there. When are we going to start realizing that, indeed, the Republicans have not been the saviors of Christianity? They have not exalted Christianity. They have not helped Christian values or the principles of the Founding Fathers. The Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. You may say to yourself, well, Reagan was a little better. Well, maybe so. He might have been a little better in some things. At least you can say that about Eastern Europe. But we can't say that in general about Republicans. Why are Christians so gullible? Why are we just so candidly following after one Republican after another? It was a sin to vote for George Bush. This man is evil. It's not a principled vote to vote for this kind of tyrant that opposes liberty, that opposes Christian values, even if he gives lip service to them. It was wrong to do that. You should have voted for principle. You should have wasted your vote, so to speak, on either Michael Badnarik, the Libertarian, or Michael Perutka, the Constitution Party candidate. Those were the only two principled votes for a true Christian last election. And it doesn't really matter, does it, if one of them doesn't win or even has no chance of winning, if you want to put it that way. What matters is that you do what's right in the sight of God, and you make a principled choice in your life, not a pragmatic one. To vote for pragmatism is to get people like George W. Bush. Lip service, with still all the associated evils continuing on as if he were never there in the first place to give lip service or otherwise against them. This is the fact. This is the truth about what we see here with American politics. Well, there's also another article sort of related to judges this morning. Crowd control in judge battle. Mr. Sekulow plays a delicate role. Mr. Sekulow plays a delicate role. Lawyer relies on evangelicals on filibuster issue. Keeps them from boiling over. Lessons from the Schiavo case. Washington, in a basement radio studio across the street from the Supreme Court, Jay Sekulow stoked support for a Christian rights campaign to remake the courts. Those who are opposed to our values, our beliefs, our faiths, our practices know that in their last best hope is the federal judiciary, he said, thumping his finger on the table. That's a pretty sad case. Jay Sekulow, if your last great hope it's the federal judiciary, then you haven't got much hope, pal. It's time to join the revolution and get out of it. I mean, this is ridiculous that you think the federal judiciary is going to be there to help you. By the end of the program, Mr. Secula worked to cool passions as callers suggested cutting off funding for the courts or impeaching the judges responsible for offensive decisions. The attorney activist batted away the ideas. We need to get the right kind of judges appointed on the bench, he said, but those moves would be tipping the constitutional balance of powers the wrong way. This guy's wrong. I mean, does he really? I mean, those people who said what we need to do is abandon it were right. Jay Sekulow is making a mistake. Maybe he just wants to keep his job. Who knows? As Congress heads toward the heated showdown over judicial appointments as soon this week, Mr. Sekulow is playing a pivotal role, channeling the anger of the religious right without letting it boil over, which could create a political backlash move or move his troops, into open confrontation with the federal judiciary. In the campaign to seat President Bush's judicial nominees, an effort spanning the White House, business groups, and big-name evangelicals, Mr. Sekulow is building a bridge between passion-driven activists and pragmatic Washington insiders. Oh, that's a good move. Republican law, skipping through the article here, Republican lawmakers there are planning to rewrite Senate rules to help Mr. Bush's judicial appointments. Skipping down again, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist and Minority Leader Harry Reid yesterday gave up attempts to reach a compromise on some of these matters. The filibuster, which dates to the early 1800s, is one of the key distinctions between the Senate and the majority rule operations of the House. The practice has allowed a minority to block final votes on measures by refusing to yield the floor in debate unless the majority can muster enough votes, 60, for at least the last 30 years to force a vote. Mr. Sekulow, a 48-year-old former tax lawyer, is a Brooklyn-born Jew turned evangelical Christian. At a hearing where he was defending Operation Rescue's anti-abortion protesters, clinic workers assumed the fast-talking lawyer with a New York accent and a monogrammed shirt sleeves represented them. Wrong table, he said. Anyway, after this recent discussion, Pat Robertson's also been involved with this, invited to the American Center for Law and Justice. And even he's trying to get things going on his Christian Broadcasting Network. Mr. Sekulow's center employs 100 people, including 35 full-time attorneys and 5 lobbyists. In the 2004 campaign's conservative anger over the judiciary is stoked by prominent decisions in favor of gay rights, which, of course, they despise. Moderate Republicans ran for cover and told Mr. Frist and other filibuster told him to fight on hold until tempers put the fight on hold until tempers cooled. In the 2004 campaign, Mr. Marks, 29, was the Bush-Cheney National Conservative Coalition director who helped organize church-sponsored voter drives in Ohio. In January, Mr. Sekulow invited Mr. Marks to set up the Judicial Confirmation Network in his office so they could combine forces. Well, at any rate, so much for Jay Sekulow, obviously not doing the right thing here. Appreciate his efforts and his apparent desire to have principles, but as a Bush supporter, as someone who's actually believing that we can reform the state as it stands today, all we can say is, you're on the wrong track, pal. You've made a pretty serious blunder here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coe. We're going to go to our last break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web.
You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Actually, we just want to make one small change here. The phone number, the alternate line, is what we're using this week and probably next week. 864-201-6955. Please use that number if you want to call on the show. You just have a few minutes to get on the air right now if you want to call in. 864-201-6955. Well, in the meantime, we wanted to close the show up today since we've been talking about political monsters and states so much today and these rulers that are so-called, where they are ordained by God but yet are still evil. Well, think about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, perhaps the most evil, if not, well, maybe second most evil president in American history, Abraham Lincoln being the one who would succeed in having, or would supersede him in that role and get first place and first prize, if that is a prize. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was criticized recently by Joe Sobran in one of his articles, a nationally syndicated article, and he asks, "Why are Americans still treating this monster as a hero? I hardly know where to start. His contempt for the U.S. Constitution he was sworn to defend, and everything from creating a national welfare state to putting the U.S. citizens in concentration camps is almost a minor item on his ledger. So are his deceits in getting the United States into World War II while assuring the American public that he was doing everything he could to keep us at peace." This is Franklin Roosevelt, folks. Long before that war began, he befriended Joseph Stalin by granting diplomatic recognition to the Soviet Union shortly after it deliberately starved millions of Ukrainians. Yeah, the kulaks really suffered. Something like 7 million were obliterated by Stalin. During the war, he made an alliance with Stalin, not as regrettable necessity, but as an effusive praise for Uncle Joe. As the war progressed, Roosevelt ordered the massive bombing of Japanese and German cities and expressed purpose of killing as many civilians as possible. His victims from Tokyo to Berlin numbered in the millions. He was uninhibited by the ancient principle of Christian civilization that warfare should spare non-combatants. Long after Pearl Harbor is forgotten, the name of Franklin Roosevelt should live in infamy. Yet the United States still officially honors him when an official apology to the entire human race would be more fitting. Gotta love Sobran when he says that. I do, at any rate. Maybe you don't, but you should. Despite his great popularity, many critics saw through Roosevelt in his own time. He tarred them as fascist sympathizers, though their chief criticism of him, developed by John Flynn's book As We Go Marching, was that he himself was bringing a form of fascism to this country. His most eloquent critic was perhaps was Garrett Garrett of the Saturday Evening Post, whose trenchant anti-Roosevelt editorials cost him his job. FDR, always vindictive, also worked behind the scenes to ruin Flynn. The caustic H.L. Mencken, seeing the futility of opposing Roosevelt during the war, decided to keep a prudent silence. It is an interesting footnote of all this that Flynn, though a principled anti-communist, saw that American militarism had become a threat to American liberty, but cold warriors didn't want to hear this, and Flynn became a persona non grata in the conservative circles which had loved his anti-Roosevelt polemics, and FDR still wins the day. What a sad case. Joe Sobran, great article he wrote against, or helping us see through, the FDR charade. Anyway, this has been Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben today. We have just a minute left in the show, and I just wanted to give you a couple plugs quickly for the tyrannyresponse.com, that website. Please visit it and take a look at all that's there. It's a brand new website put up by Rip and Richie Williams, who will join us tomorrow as a co-host of Christian Worldview and be starting his own show shortly in the afternoon. Also wanted to encourage all of you to support the Tyranny Response Network. Yes, it's worth the money to support us, or to support the Christian Worldview program, by supporting the Tyranny Response Network. The management of TRN has asked me to inquire of you, anyone who's in business otherwise, who feels that they can donate $1,000 or even $2,000 towards an improvement of TRN's transmission capability. They really are in need of the funding right now, folks, and if you can simply contact us through the contacts on the tyrannyresponse.com website, we would greatly appreciate it. Right now, we're trying to expand, and why not get this word out? What better use of your money do you have than to promote liberty and a Christian worldview by supporting the Tyranny Response Network? We hope to see you again tomorrow morning. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John.